Welcome again. Thank you so much for being with us this Sunday. Fascinating text that we dive into this week. You know, throughout history, human beings have associated certain pools of water with healing properties. Near where my father lives out in Wyoming, there is a place that is just one whole town built around these incredible hot springs, where people would come from all over the world and bathe in the hot springs for the sake of healing, for the sake of, you know, it's supposed to make all sorts of different maladies better again. And you find this not just in the United States. You find this in the Middle East. You find this in Scandinavia, in Africa, in Hawaii. Pretty much everywhere there are people, we associate water with healing. And why is this? Well, to be perfectly honest, there are in fact healing properties associated with mineral springs that have lots of mineral in them if you have certain conditions, not least of which being skin conditions, are frequently healed by being in contact with mineral water. Now, this is not necessarily the same thing as a person, say, receiving the ability to walk again because they touched water. So why in today's lesson is it so important that this individual touch the pool at Siloam? Now, to understand what's going on here, you have to understand quite a bit more about how the Hebrews understood life. And one of the things in Hebrew understanding of the world that we live in is that this world is in connection with heaven itself all the time. That there is this commerce of beings moving back and forth between heaven and earth on a regular basis. And that there are places on the earth where angels regularly will come from heaven, descend onto the earth in a specific place, and from that place then go out to do their tasks on the earth, completely unseen by human eyes. One of the places is the Oaks of Mamre. And supposedly this is where Jacob saw a ladder going up into heaven that the angels then would come down. Also, in the Bible, it talks about the angels coming down into pools of water. So when the man is sitting by the pool at Siloam, and he says, when the waters are stirred, there's no one here to take me to take of the waters, what he's talking about is a place where people believed that angels would descend from heaven into that water and then go off in their tasks. When they would come down into the water, you couldn't see them, but you could see evidence of them by the moving of the waters as they walked through it. And so the belief was then, if you could get into the water immediately following the angel being in it, there would be this incredible healing surge, this experience with the divine that would bring life to the lifeless, most notably people who couldn't walk. So here this man has sat for who knows how long, years in all likelihood, trying to get to be the first person to step into the waters as soon as the waters are stirred. Now, I don't know how often the waters were stirred. Maybe this was something that happened every so often. Maybe it was something that happened once in a great rare while. But the man is sitting there waiting. Now, he can't just go and climb in the water because it's just water right now. He can't just go and sit in that pool and get better because there's nothing inherent in the water that is healing. It is when the angels move the waters as they walk through the waters that the healing actually becomes a part of it. So this is a little bit different than you or I going to a hot spring for the health benefits of being in, you know, highly mineralized hot spring water. It's not the water, it's the holy. And Jesus comes upon this person who is waiting on the holy, is waiting on God to move in his midst in a way that is visible so that he can see that he has the opportunity to grasp hold of wholeness that life has denied him. And then Jesus comes by. And he questions the man, why are you sitting here? And the man says, well, it's not like I want to be sitting here, but I can't move. I'm paralyzed. I am unable to get into the water quick enough when an angel stirs the water so that I can encounter the holy. I can't get to the holy in time for it to make a difference in my life. Jesus, on the other hand, sees the man and comes to him. He says, do you want to be made whole? The man says, of course I do. And what does Jesus do? He says, get up, take your mat, and go home. God has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. You have encountered the holy. Because, of course, Jesus is the holy he encounters. And Jesus isn't stuck. And this is something that is so very, very important. The difference between God in the Old Testament and God in the New Testament has to do with God being unstuck from space. You see, in the Israelite culture, God specifically was in Jerusalem. He was there in the Holy of Holies in the center of the temple. He was there in specific locations. He was there in specific circumstances and times. And if you wanted to encounter God, you better be ready to do it, because the Holy was going to come, the Holy was going to go, and if you weren't in the right place at the right time, you would miss your experience with the Holy and all that it brought with it. The forgiveness, the renewal, the strength, the comfort, the hope. If you weren't in the right place at the right time, the Holy would come and go and you wouldn't experience it, which is, of course, what this man has been going through. Jesus, he changes all that. And in fact, here in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit drastically changes all that. Because Jesus is the Holy that moves. Jesus is the Holy that comes to us. In fact, Jesus comes to that man. And he offers to him the one thing that he has wanted more than anything and everything else. To be made whole. Now, most of us probably aren't suffering from the exact same problems he was suffering from, mostly because we don't know exactly what was wrong with him. But all of us have experienced in some way a feeling of not being whole. Something about this life, something about our existence, something about our experience with other people or their experience with us, something about our feelings about the life that we lead. All of us have some experience of not being whole, not being complete, not being enough. And to each and every one of us, if God was such that we had to go and seek him out, if we had to find God in his holy place, on his holy mountain, in his holy temple, in the stirred waters of the holy pool, if we had to seek out God, finding God would be very hard. But in Jesus Christ, God comes looking for us. In the person of Christ is entirely encapsulated all of God's chosen ministry to us. Forgiveness, renewal, new life, inclusion into the kingdom, reconciliation to the Father. It's all in Jesus. And he doesn't wait for us to come to him. He comes to us. And he says to us just what he said to that man. Do you want to be made whole? Do we? Do we want wholeness if it comes at the price that Jesus expects? Because Jesus does expect a price. Now, I'm not saying that we have to pay Jesus to be made whole. That's a whole nother thing. And if you find somebody who's a faith healer who charges people for their healing, well, that's called a charlatan. No. What I'm saying is when Jesus brings us his grace, it's free, but it's costly. How can a thing be free and costly? Well, if I handed you for free, with absolutely no strings attached, a pill of cyanide, and I said to you, this is free, I give it to you freely, you are free to receive it, you are free to take it, and you took the pill of cyanide, I think you can agree with me that there would be a cost to pay. You would die. Well, the grace of Jesus Christ is the same way. He offers to us renewal. He offers to us new life. He offers to us wholeness, but only at the cost of being a part of the kingdom of this world. Because in Christ, we become a part of the kingdom of heaven. We become a part of the rulership of Jesus Christ. We become a part of something greater than ourselves, something that defines truth outside of ourselves, something we have to submit to by virtue of having been reborn into it. It's a costly thing, this free grace that we receive. Are we ready to do what Jesus says to the man to do? Get up, take your things, and go home. See, this man has lived his life by this pool. Maybe he has been miserable with it, but it's the life he knew. Now Jesus offers him wholeness, but everything's going to be new, including his life. Is he ready for that? Does he have to make a decision? Does he simply jump up and say, I've wanted this for so long? Or does he consider for a moment how this is going to change everything? Do we, when we accept the grace of Jesus Christ, consider how it calls us to love, forgive, be renewed, look to God for our leadership and guidance, look to the scriptures for our truths? Do we consider what being made whole into the kingdom of God means that we wholly are lost to the kingdom of this world? It is a big consideration before we jump up and take our mat and go home. But this is what happens when the holy comes to us. Because what the holy in Jesus Christ brings us is of inestimable value. But it also comes at a cost. So the question is, do we want wholeness on God's terms? Or are we comfortable with the partial and broken that is this world that we can live on our own terms? Do we sit by the pool of grace and say to ourselves, if only there was someone to push me into the water? Well, Jesus is happy to come along and give you a shove. Or do we sit by the pool of grace and simply bide our time? The choice is ours.